Welcome to OK Team, a Young Designer's Guide, with your hosts, Kristen Periclios, Mark Sela, and Dan Lawson. If you could take a moment to subscribe to us, that would really help us out a lot, and it will help you get notified every time we post a new episode.
This is episode 16, Contracts Are Important, featuring photographer, designer, Crystal Black.
Have you guys seen the horror movie where a sloth is the killer?
Slotherhouse?
Slotherhouse.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yep. It was actually pretty good.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's like a college, like a dorm. No, frat house. No, what is it with girls? Frats are guys. Sorority house? Yeah. Well,
of course it's gotta be a sorority.
Of course. And yeah, so there's the girl who like doesn't fit in, and then they get the sloth. She like steals the sloth from this guy, and it's gonna be like a house mascot, and then everything goes sideways, and it's definitely worth a watch if you're into that sort of thing. I'm totally into that sort of thing. Everything in slow motion
with the sloth.
It's actually surprising.
So it's all slow motion, and then it just like sloth freak out. They're just super fast. I mean, as far as the movie goes, I'm sure it was, you know, all scientifically backed.
Of course.
It's time for A-Timer News!
So did you guys see that, that Canva bought Affinity?
No.
And Affinity is, I mean, you guys, for anybody who doesn't know, Affinity makes a creative suite that is very similar to the Adobe Creative Cloud. And it's probably their, I would say, the best alternative to the Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yeah, you mentioned it in the episode about
the software.
Program software. You'd mentioned that.
Yeah. So apparently Canva has now purchased them in an attempt to legitimize their business model and compete with Adobe. So they're making like major moves towards competition. I don't know if they really have the money behind them that Adobe does. AI.
I believe it was because somebody at Canva heard our episodes specifically, and they were like, "Oh, well, we need to get our crap together."
Yes, and they should.
They should.
I don't know if you guys know this about Canva, but they have been acquiring companies pretty steadily since like 2019.
Really?
Yeah, they started with Pixabay, I think, which was like a lesser form of Shutterstock, kind of. And it was a bunch of stock photos. And then from there, they've acquired something, I think, almost every year that has been like a smaller startup that had larger competition. And so I think that's sort of like their overall model is to become competitive by finding these smaller companies doing the same thing as larger ones that they could never really get past. But then as like a big conglomerate...
God, could you imagine if they bought Figma?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah, and at one point they made some pretty big changes back in like mid-2022, and from that point they saw like 90 million new users, which is like, I think someone said was like 9 to 10 years worth of growth for a common company. Wow. And they saw that in just a year and a half.
You know, this kind of dovetails in with our episode this week, because I think Canva is a major part of someone's story. So.
Okay, team, since we are getting dangerously close to actually talking about our guest without first introducing her, let's go ahead and do that. Mark, would you like to do the honors?
Yes, I will. So our guest today is a fantastic photographer, really great designer. I have known her for what, 15 years now? Something like that. She was an old student of mine. Sometimes people have to remind me that you were my student, because it's been so long. We have virtual coffee almost every day. We talk about art and design and life. Wonderful person. Crystal Black. Crystal, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm not entirely sure where you want me to start with that.
Well, I mean, you don't need to go into like what hospital you were born in.
Oh,
you can okay. You can talk about the creative aspect of everything. You're kind of a double threat. You're a photographer and a designer. You've done professional work in both. Kind of tell us about this.
So I have professionally been a photographer. I did that for multiple years. And then I began to have some mobility issues, which kind of vectored me into design more seriously. And I have done that freelance off and on over the years. And I don't think there's a whole lot more to that. I don't advertise, it's word of mouth. And not all the time, but frequently I will get acquaintances who will come to me and ask for something. And that's where I tend to get in trouble.
Yes.
When
so
acquaintances ask for things.
So one of the reasons that we had you on here for this specific episode is we wanted to talk about some of the pitfalls of designing for people you know, perhaps being a little bit casual in your approach to designing for people that you know. I always talk about my friend who's a mechanic who said he would get so much work and the people were so difficult that he knew that he ended up having to charge full prices to everybody. And he would make them make appointments with wherever he was working because his weekends and evenings were just completely full of family and friends who wanted stuff for free or that was difficult or whatever it was. So that's kind of why we had you on here, because you have some, you have a story that kind of fits along with a little bit of what we talked about in Eggtimer News with Canva and so on. So kind of tell us a little bit about the
Well, let me tell you about my tragedy. So I had somebody approach me, an acquaintance, that said, "Hey, I hear that you do this, and I really like this individual." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can help you with branding and whatnot. And, you know, let's sit down and talk about it." So we find a place, we sit down, we start chatting. And she's like, "Well, I kind of want this, this, this." And I'm like, "Okay, so I kind of have a springboard. I have something to go off of. So let me just go throw together, you know, a good 10, 15 designs, and I'll bring them back to you. And then you can say, I want to go more in this direction, but I like this from this part," or, you know, those types of things. So I did that. And this is when everything started to go wrong. Everything that she told me that she liked initially was not what she liked now. And I'm like, okay. So I go back to the drawing board and I start working on things again. Meanwhile, I did not know this, she's now using Canva to design her own logo. And I'm like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And I present my designs to her again. She's like, "Yeah, but I really like what I did in Canva." And I'm like, "That's great."
Right. Now, because this person was an acquaintance of yours, you chose not to be very formal with this and use a contract.
I've never heard that before. No, I did not use a contract. Yes, I know better. I knew better before this, and I didn't do it. And yes, I'm shooting myself in the foot. I am not even halfway through this process, and it's a nightmare. So, yes, I came back to her and she's like, but I like this. So she's designing her own logo, hand-drawn. And I'm like, fine, I'll recreate it. I'll give you the vector files. We can call it done. And she was like, but I really like this font. I don't want to use anything different. I like this font. And I'm like, hello, 1990s. really?
It was like using papyrus or something like that.
Yes, it was awful. And I'm now coming to the realization that she really wants a, what do we call it? A designer font? A, there's a word for it that it's escaping me right now. But she wants one of the fancy fonts. And I'm like, this is going to date your logo in a heartbeat. And I don't want to. But I'm sorry. I really, really want this. And I'm like, okay, so now at this point, do I just give her what she wants and take her money? Or do I stand on the fact that this is a horrible design and you're wrong? I don't know.
And I've had a chance to see what some of the proposal was. And the proposal, it's kind of like using really decorative script font.
Decorative. That's
yes,
what I was
really decorative script font. It doesn't scale well. It's everything that somebody who isn't a designer would design for their logo. So what are some opinions here on what she should do?
I would give her the advice, and I mean, you've given her the advice and that's what she wants to do. I mean, ultimately it is hers. And if she wants to make the mistake, I mean, that's no reflection on you. But that being said, I understand you being in a position to where not only do you not want your friend to fail, but you don't want your name attached to it because they're like, oh, well, Crystal designed this. And you're like, no, I didn't.
I did that, though. And she's like, and she's still, if I use a script font, I want to go with this. And I'm like, okay, but here's the thing. Even if you go with that, you have to buy a commercial license because right now it's only free for personal use. And she's like, but it's on Canva. And I was like, so help me, go play in Canva then.
I would just let her know. I mean, it is hers, and the whole customer's always right nonsense. But I would let her know that you don't want your name attached to it.
Yeah.
Take the money for your time and wash your hands of it.
And here's the thing, because I was listening to some of your guys' previous episodes, but I was only halfway through the freelance one, and I went back to it and started up again. And I heard you say the people that are laid back are going to be the worst clients. And I was like, now you tell me.
You just got to catch up on the episodes. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
You know,
this is nobody's fault but your own.
I don't even disagree with you. And I was like, okay, so I took my favorite logo that I had that she kind of was okay with, and I started putting color in it because I'm like, really? I kind of think that's going to vector you into a decision because everything was black and white up to this point. And I was like, I really just want to vector you into this, even if it's manipulative, well, just so be it. And then she starts going completely off of the color palette that she told me she wanted to go with, listed off 6 different colors that she needs in her colors.
Nope.
And she needs. By the way, I really want wisteria purple, too. And I'm like, that is not earth tone colors. Like, what?
So, Kristen, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
Well, previously when we were talking about the part, because I have something else to talk about with this, but it did feel like it was just a tale as old as time. You are trying to educate as a designer, but Klein is always right. And at the end of the day, she's paying you. But you're right. There's sometimes only so much you can do, and you have the best of intentions and you want that person to succeed. I think...
honestly, it sounds like you've done all the right things. Like, you showed it in black and white. It didn't sell. That's fine. Some clients just can't see it if it's in black and white. So you showed it in color. Her mind has completely changed. Okay, let me try to go along with you then. You've explained to her the legalities of the font usage. And I think the only other thing I would do is just think about if you were trying to like mentor someone who was new in design, like the way Mark or I would talk to a student. I would take her logo, make it teeny, teeny, tiny on a business card, and then also blow it up and show her how it won't work in all of these different end use scenarios where she would need to use it for her business. And hopefully that will get it across. I would also try to sell her like whatever terminology you see her using, try to use it, like turn it around and use it on her. So if she's saying like, you know, I want a script font. Well, okay, well, how about for free, you handwrite it. Do it in the way that feels best to you. You bring your emotion to this business and handwrite it, and then I'll vectorize your handwriting for you and sell her in that way. Or do you have a piece of clothing or a piece of art that you love that you can send to me and then just pull the colors from that? Because if it's something already made and created, it's bound to have a much more cohesive color palette than her just picking and choosing from thin air. And so whenever possible, this is the advice I would give to my younger designers when they were working with clients, is like, try to use their emotion to the advantage of your project here. But then, yeah, what you were just saying now, it's everything we try to tell people to do. Like, you have to have a contract, you have to have a scope of work. They should sign off on that scope of work first. If they breach that, then you can be out, no strings attached. And it's like, but when it comes to people that you know, it's so much harder to do because you're like, I know them, it'll be fine.
Yes.
No. Often it's not.
No, it's not. Well, and you know, I don't know. I'm saying you know, but I don't even know. So. It's just been one thing after another. And she also was interested in me building out a website. And at this point, I'm like, no, I'm going to say no to that.
Cough, cough. We'll
see
sick.
If we can get through the branding aspect of things, but that's just been something.
Yes. It's been interesting getting the texts from you. And you're like, yeah. Would you believe that this is what this person wants? Do you see this?
Yeah it's, I well, mean,
it's when they said, oh, really? I'm an artist too.
That's what I was getting ready to say when she comes up and she was like, oh, well, I get it because I'm an artist too. And I'm like, well, in that case, why am I here? Just go play in Canva. And she is a dog trainer. And I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this without going too far. But she's trying to sell me on a dog design that only had three legs. And I'm like, no, I'm going to say no to that. I cannot get behind that. And I will not. Because while you say the customer is always right, sometimes they're not.
They're not, and, yeah.
And, 100% correct.
Yeah.
And she's
not joking either. The dog has three legs.
I'm just going to say, no, you have to find a different way to vector this because it's horrible. And that has a completely different message. And that's definitely not what you want to go after. And that's not what you want to tell your clientele.
Well, and this kind of goes along with a little bit of what you said, Kristen, in a previous episode. I think it was the questions episode at the end of season one about the question about Canva. And it's that the entry level for Canva is so low to be able mm-hmm. to use it that marketing or other individuals in the company are going to end up with their hands in everything. And then this is just going to you know, muddle the process and cause multiple edits from multiple people.
One thing that I've seen work well in this situation, and by work well, I mean, I've heard an anecdote of this working one time, but I had a friend who was in a very similar situation where she was working with a creative. It's almost like, I think, Dan, you said your sister's a baker. Like, anyone who works with their hands definitely views themselves as a creative, and they are, but just in a different manner. And so when it came down to the visual, this client wasn't exactly there, but she thought she was. And the designer working with her kept having very similar problems where she'd come up against the designs and say, but this and this and this, and my creative brain works this way. And at some point, the designer just had to say, basically what you're saying, like, why am I here? And she just had to say, what is it that you think you need from me that you can't do yourself? And what she found out was that the person just kind of wanted almost validation. And either that, like, she just wanted to say she had a graphic designer make it for her, or that a graphic designer was like, oh, yes, this is great, this will work, go. But there's so many people who want that validation but aren't also willing to take whatever the creative critique is that might come in its place. And so, at least for my friend, what the designer had to do was just say, I think what you're looking for is me to sign off on this and let you know that I think you're going on the creative path. I think what we should do at this point is we should end our contract here. I will create a creative consultation for you. Like she basically laid out this is how I think you should apply whatever it is you create to marketing and branded pieces. And then you take that and you run with it, because that person just the client could just not let go of the creative aspect of it, but clearly did need a little bit of direction past the branding. So that could be another way to address that situation.
Well, I mean, I really should have picked up on it, but she was like, yeah, well, I really had to let go and let somebody else do this, because otherwise I would never get it finished. And I was like, that should have been a glaring red flag. And I didn't quite pick up on it because it was said in passing, but hindsight.
Always hindsight.
But I mean, I would like to say, I mean, it is a learning experience. I would like to say that's all it is. But the thing is I knew better. I knew better. I never should have walked into this without something on paper, with a number of revisions and all of the things, but I didn't do it because it was an acquaintance that I, but I didn't do that with the revisions and things because it is somebody that I know that I'm fairly comfortable with. And I know in other aspects of creative work, the people that you know are typically the worst. And yet here I am, and I didn't quite take all of those lessons to heart previously. Well,
so for our younger designers, because that is who we are trying to help here, you say, I do know I should have done a contract and all those things. Could you take a minute and sort of detail a little bit more what you will for sure always be doing from now on, even with best friends and family?
I think that there needs to be something in writing talking about the scope of what the job is, what you are doing for what amount of money, how many revisions are there going to be throughout this process. And like I said, I had 10 to 15 designs that I came to her at first. And then because she changed her mind in there, I ended up having to scrap all of those and redo them.
Yeah.
I think it should say, I will come to you with this. You can kind of go from here and make revisions, but this all counts, and that needs to be broken down in the contract, as well as payment and all of that being detailed. I haven't been paid anything yet either.
Oh boy. Just to add to that list, the other thing I always used to like to add when I was working with clients is a sign-off. So like, if you sign off on this mood board or this step, basically we are not going backwards. And if we do, we revisit contract first. And so if they sign off on like the inspiration or the color palette, we're locked in basically. And we can go back, but we'll go back with a new contract and we'll kind of start from scratch. And I will still be paid for this time that's already been committed.
Yeah, that would have been wise.
That's a really good point. I had never thought of doing that before. I've never encountered a situation where you would have to do that, because most of what I'm, a huge portion of what I've done has always been like agency or in-house type of work.
Yeah.
So it was already taken care of by somebody else.
It's something that's nice to consider, especially when you're working with someone who is one-off or a very small company with no brand standards yet, because they don't actually have anything else to hold them accountable. And all they have to do is hop on social media or Instagram and see one cute brand they like better than what they're envisioning, and they can change the entire scope. And so by locking them in, it also helps them, right? Like if you show them a ton of mood boards and they narrow in on one, they made a decision, and they made that decision for a reason. And because of that, it helps you to be able to push back and say, well, you made this decision. Remember when we talked about X, Y, and Z and how this really, you know, these colors and these fonts and this really goes back to the vibe of your brand and everything you hold dear and that sort of thing. And it kind of can also help keep them in check from going with the most trendy thing they see and then not liking their brand in 2 years. But yeah, a lot of it is education for the client.
So Kristen, what are some good resources when we're talking about contracts? Like, does AIGA have some of these things? What are some resources where people can start?
AIGA is definitely where I always push people to start, because they have had contracts and invoices created and checked by legal processes. And so they do hold some weight if you just use that and take it verbatim. I would also, however, if you are working in a company or even if you know anybody, I would also talk to anyone who has just had a little bit more experience than you. A lot of times, really, again, I don't think designers really gatekeep all that much. I was able to get the vast majority of my contracts and invoices and more legal type documents and like copyright information once brands had been created from older designers who had this documentation already created. So many of them just gave me what they had and said, change this, this, and this, and it's good to go. And now they couldn't obviously say legally this is binding because they had it created for them specifically or whatever it may be, but it gives you a really good starting point. And then there are so many, we can put some out for people on our website and we can share it on Facebook, but there are a lot of free options out there too that can help you create types of contracts to help protect yourself. They're not as in-depth as like designer specific ones like Crystal was talking about with revisions and check-ins and half deposits and things like that, but there are free resources out there as well.
Yeah, the Graphic Artist Guild has a bunch of them.
Oh, that's too. Another good one.
Yeah, the Graphic Artist Guild does, in their book, which I've mentioned before. Wait. I always get the name wrong. Oh, the Graphic Artist Guild Pricing and Ethical Guides book has a bunch of that in there as well as I believe some links. I've only been using that for like 15 years. You'd think I would get the title
straight. Yeah, no big deal. It's a long title.
It'll come in time. You're fine.
You're still young, Mark.
You know, if you hadn't said that sarcastically, I would have been happy that you told me that.
There was no sarcasm.
You at least have a good 6 months. You're fine.
Oh my gosh. I
can't take us anywhere.
Dude, if you die in the next 6 months, I'm going to feel horrible. Don't do that to me, dude.
Just know that I will not feel horrible if it happens. You can laugh at that.
This is
if you really want to.
That's fair. I'm just going to be like, hold it.
Mic drop.
Oh my God. So you started off as a professional photographer, yes. But you've been around design your entire life. Your mom was a designer. You've been in the Adobe creative applications since you were, you know, a toddler practically. Now you started your own studio. You're pretty successful in your own studio. You ended up, and you don't have to go into details about this, but you ended up with some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that you really couldn't run the studio the way that you were before because of some mobility issues and so on. How was it to pivot more towards design? I mean, was it like a natural transition? Because as long as I've known you, you've always taken design as a major component to what you did in your visual art. But was it difficult to pivot, to deal with clients differently? I mean, because as a designer, you're doing all sorts of interesting things.
I would say yes and no. Like when I came out of school and I started working as a photographer, I went and worked for someone else. And yes, I've been in all of the Adobe programs literally since I was 8 years old. So they're not new. I've grown up with them. But I worked professionally with another photographer, and I did learn from them on the do's and the don'ts. I did learn how to interact with clients and how you go about things, what can and cannot get you into trouble. And then when I pivoted, I was used to working with clients, but I was used to working with clients in a different manner. A design client, I find, is completely different than a photography client. So
in what ways in particular is it?
Well, with a photography client, I would bring somebody in for a consultation and I would talk to them about what their end goal is. And then the next time I see them, we're shooting and we would make that end goal happen. There wasn't a ton of time to change your mind. If you want a different outfit, you can't get it. You can't go back on the things that you said because there's not an option. In design, when I talk with somebody, again, like Kristen said, all of a sudden you see a cute social media post and everything shifts, which is why it's good to have those sign-off things. But I worked with another photographer before I went out on my own. When I was doing photography, I have not worked for another designer before I went off on my own. So I think there's a whole lot of, there's just a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of things, because while I've been in the creative field, they are two different areas.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Dan is doing professional freelance now. He has his own company, but Dan has worked kind of in agency life in a way before that. So I didn't even think about that. You just went straight into freelancing.
I would highly recommend if you've heard of the OK Team podcast, listening to that. And there's a lot of really valuable information in there.
You know, if you only could give me that information in a timely manner before I make the mistakes with my clients, that would be great.
Did you find that the photography clients were in some ways a little bit more intimidated because they couldn't claim to be experts on what you were doing? Like, do you find that the design clients that some of the time they're like, yeah, I'm artsy, I could do this. Do you find more of that with the design clients than you did with the photography clients?
Well, it depends what type of photography you're doing. And it depends who you're dealing with. Senior photos, I hated, because you would have a mother telling you how to do your job.
Ah, yeah.
When I was doing boudoir, it was only me and my client. And you're not going to go to your uncle and ask them to take these photos. You're not going to.
Let's hope. Generally, no.
Yeah, I don't know. But there was less of an issue with things like that, of people telling me how to do my job, because they couldn't see what I was seeing. Now, if you had, and I didn't allow other people in while I was doing my shoot with them either, because I didn't want outside opinions. So.
Interesting.
Right. It's like not having someone, like when I was at my job, I used to hate when people would hover over me. They're like, okay, can I now make this change? Now make this change. I'm like, go away. Go away. I will come to you when it's done. Thank you.
Kristen, did you ever, you know, like a student would call you over and they'd be like, well, I need for you to check on this, or I need to know how to do this. And then they would struggle. Did you ever just say, I'm going to go ahead and answer these questions over here for a minute, because you knew that you just standing there behind them was throwing them into a fit? Because I have to do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's cool. We've all done this. I know I'm making you irritated, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Call me back over.
Right. It's like, right. You don't work well when someone is actively staring over you. Or like, I remember when I would be at meetings or in the process of anything with a student or a client, and you are trying to sketch while they're talking, or you're taking notes, and that's just how like a lot of creatives process. And I had to get into the habit of not laying my sketchbook flat on the desk, because they would just sort of peek over and see what you're doing. Oh, I like that. Or I like that. I'm like, there's nothing for you to like yet. There is nothing for you to like yet. I am processing your information. Yes, it's in a visual way, but you know, this is, and so I had to learn to keep it private. And I think that's sort of what happens when, that is one of the downfalls of a file sharing system. I mean, it's a little, and Adobe has it now too with the cloud. So mm-hmm. many people can toss your files back and forth so easily. And it is a little bit easier with designers, especially if you're all on the same team, you know what you're doing. It's very rare someone's going to go in and just nuke your design and change it to something completely different, like a client might if they were in a sharing capacity. But it's hard. And it's one of those things that, how firm do we stand that ground as designers? And especially Crystal, in your position, like, how far do you try and educate versus giving good design versus just giving the client what they want, helping them not break the law by using that font you mentioned that she's clearly going to try and just take and put all over her business cards or whatever. It's a fine line you have to walk. And as a young designer, when you're in that, if you're in that situation, hopefully you've done a contract and it can protect you in some way. But even then, you can run into these situations where someone is trying to watch you, or someone's making you nervous, or someone is not getting that you're telling them you cannot do that. That is illegal. You cannot just take that picture. So this is the biggest one. You cannot just take that picture off the internet. It is not yours to take and print. Yes, I know it's on the internet. It is still not yours. And if they're not going to listen to you, sometimes there's only so much you can do. But I would always say, this is why it's a great idea to have a mentor in your life in some way or another, either at your job, an ex-professor that you really still respect and work well with, or just someone who is older and has been there to run these strange situations past them and get their feedback on how they think you should handle it.
Yeah, when she started designing everything for me and then handing it to me saying, this is what I want, like, I realized that greatly affected my creativity and what I was able to even give her, because I was being so micromanaged. So at that point, I was like, fine, whatever. I will take the best out of the five options that you gave me, and we will move forward with that, because I don't see any win to this. And I just want it to be over. On the font thing, I did explain to her that, one, I think this dated her logo. And she was like, yeah, but to when? And I was like, really? Do you need an actual date?
How long do you plan on being successful?
And I was like, okay. Well, this is a 90s font, but... And then when we did move away from that, she was like, oh, I think this looks a lot more professional. And I was like, okay, whoa, okay, we're getting there, kind of. I mean, not really, but small wins we're going to take. But I mean, the education process has been happening, but it's been taking way too long. Yeah. And it's not been fun. This is not a client that you walk away from thinking, man, I love what I do. And I don't know, I think I am quite hesitant to do work for people that I know.
Well, and you get to the point too where you're not making money anymore.
Right.
I knew a guy that straight out of school, there were two women who owned a business and they wanted him to do their website. And 6 months later, he was still doing revisions for the website. He had no contract. He had no real experience because he was straight out of school. He had no real experience dealing with individuals who just wanted multiple changes over and over and over. And I told him, dude, you are 6 months into this. You're, you know, whatever money you charged them, that's gone. That's gone and you're not making any more. You know, you've got to cut your ties with these individuals. And he's like, well, you know, I don't want to break my word. It's 6 months later. Yeah.
I think that right there it's just another example of why you need something in writing, even if it's not a formal contract, because then it's not personal. It's just business. And it's not you breaking their word. It's them breaking the contract. As designers, a lot of times, especially as young designers, so many of us are very timid, not very many people want to stick up for themselves, like that student there, Mark. And so having something you can fall back on and make that the reason why you have to break or change or do something different is going to be so much easier than having to have like a more personal feeling confrontation.
Well, I think it's easy to just jump into something too when you do see a paycheck. So it's like, and I'm like, I know them. So yeah, it'll be fine. Let me do that and take the money and go. But in the end, it's not a quick, you do X and I do Z. Like it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. I ended up having to do what Kristen had mentioned earlier. I had to go from being a designer with somebody to end up just consulting with them because they would do things like, I literally want this company's logo with two letters changed. And I'd be like, you can't do that. Well, I don't see why not. It's just, wait, excuse me. You know, I should be able, their company is successful with this. Yes, it is. It's their brand. Well, it'll be mine if you just change a few letters. No, it kind of isn't. And I don't want to do this anymore. And so I ended up just doing consulting work for them. I was like, if you're going to do this on your own. I don't want to get sued.
You know, that brings up an interesting point. I used to tell my students stories like that. And they're like, no one can be that thick-headed. Like, no one actually thinks that. And I had to be like, the number of freelancers that I could bring in here to tell you stories exactly like this would blow your mind. And it's not that these people are dumb. It's that there are legal things. There are creative rights. There are copyright infringements. There are things like this that we learn about as designers that they just, why would they need to know about it? So why do they need to understand that? But if they're not willing to understand that, like you said, Mark, I'm not willing to be sued.
Yeah.
I did a website for sushi restaurant years and years ago. To date how long ago I did, I built the entire website in Flash.
Wow.
So there's that. But he absolutely loved it. It was really simplistic. Everything was just like white with a little bit of black and a little bit of red. And it was a really cool website. And he absolutely loved it. And this, I actually had a friend of mine who he writes a lot of music and stuff. He actually created a loop of like a garden flute that just kind of constantly looped in the background. Cause that was the cool thing. I mean, you know, with Flash, you could have like one sound, you could go through the entire website and it was on one timeline. So you could just have that music in the background. And he loved everything except for the music. He wanted Pink Floyd The Wall because that's what Americans like.
Wow.
I was like, I can't. And he's like, oh, but Americans like that. And I'm like, well, yeah, fair point, but.
Fair point, but
yeah.
Do you like your business?
Crystal, do you have any final advice for our listeners?
Well, get a contract. That's really what it sums up to. Be cautious about doing work for people that you know. Not that it's always wrong or always bad, but I do find people that are closer to you in any creative venture tend to be more challenging. Whether that's design or photography or, you know, 2D design or set design or anything, doing stuff for people that you know frequently can be a pain. But
which is kind of always disturbing because people that you know that are in your life should value your time more than a stranger. But that's really what that is yeah. they're not value asking somebody, and we've talked about this before and other things. People asking you to do things for free or to do them 1,000 revisions, they just don't respect your time or they don't value your time.
Well, I think it's this notion that, well, you designing something isn't costing you money.
But
so therefore, you should just go ahead and do it for me because it would help me as a person out. And they are not realizing that I'm taking my time to do this for you, which means I can't take on another job.
Right.
So it is costing money. But I don't think that that's our societal outlook on it.
Shame on society.
For
I'm telling
this and many things.
So many things.
This has been OK Team, a Young Designer's Guide with your hosts,
Mark Sela,
Kristen Periklios,
and I'm Dan Lawson. And this has been our guest, Crystal Black.
Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
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 Okay. Bye, Crystal.
That's what the people love to hear.
Bye.
There you go.
Well, you were talking. Go figure.
I love her. Can she be here every week?
Well, you're a good example for us all.
Good example.
Yep. Right?